Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. We'll read verses 17 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Ephesians 5, 17 through 21. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us in this place. Thank you that when we're here, it's really just one big family. Thank you that you've given us a preacher who searches your word and spends time with you to know exactly what we need. Father, please, may we realize the depravity of our nation, our world, because of liquor. Father, please fill him with your power. Change our hearts tonight so we could go out and do our best to do what we can for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening we will continue what we'll call part two of this morning's sermon. I entitled the sermon, The Truth About Liquor or Booze, if you will. I said this earlier today. I said out on Highway 11, we have two signs that state Pastor Owens declares war on liquor. I had one of our good men come to me. He said, Brother Owens, just so you know, if you'd like, you could add my name out there on that sign because I'm declaring war on liquor as well. And that is very, very recommendable that we all do. This truck out here that's been in a bad accident, I told you this morning, that truck, we had it brought in here. It was one that was in an accident on New Year's Eve this year, someone out drinking and driving. And I am just wanting so desperately to warn everyone in this building, but in a special way, young people, teenagers, and children, I just want you to know the Bible teaches that liquor is bad, booze is bad, wine is bad, beer is bad, and we want you to know what the Bible has to say about it. It's a sin, and we want you to know the truth about it. I went through today and I looked at some of the advertisements in the yellow pages of our area, and there is liquor store after liquor store after liquor store, both in this area and just over in Maryland. I was so irritated. I found one up in Hagerstown, a liquor store called God Loves Liquor Store. How filthy. How vile. God Loves Liquor Store. You know, when people can get to the point where they have that kind of an attitude, that is every bit perverse. God will judge that. God will judge that. And what a terrible thought. And I mean, I could start reading the names of all these liquor stores here over and over and over and over again, liquor stores listed. And then I went to another page, and it was a page of taverns, where the taverns were listed. And tavern after tavern, all the places where you can go out and you can get drunk and you can get beer and you can go buy devil water so it can destroy you and your family and your home. Then I got to looking, and you know what's really sad about it? They used to, if a place sold food and liquor, so often they called them bar and grill. Now they just call them family restaurants because you just take the whole family down there, and there's nothing we're going to do about it. But you would not believe. I looked at the number of taverns and I thought, well, they're not very many. Well, I figured out why. There's not as many as what there used to be, because now you can just about go to any restaurant and they got their bar right there. And that's how acceptable it is. And there's page after page after page after page after page after page of restaurants that have now virtually become taverns, and they sell their beer. I got a letter today from one of our good men. I am not going to tell you his name, but it came underneath my door after this morning's service, and it says this: Pastor, I would be more than been honored if you could see fit to use me as an example. I've had every example that you shared with us this morning happen in my life. At the age of 7 or 8, I lost my mother to drunk driving. At 9, my brother left home when he was 16 due to his drinking. At age 12, my older sister and I had to get my father out of jail. At 15, just after I was saved, I had been made fun of by my father and we began to fight. I had to leave home myself then. Now at 35, my sister and brother call and ask me to pray for them to quit drinking and that God would help them. My father has no remembrance of most of these issues of days gone by. If I can be of help, I would be glad to, and that from a victorious man in our congregation who does not have a liquor problem, but he knows what it's really all about. Let me give you something that I think is unique. I call it the Ten Commandments for liquor. Commandment number 1, thou shalt not menace the safety of our highways with your drunk driving. Commandment number 2, thou shalt not invade our homes with your radio and television programs appealing to our children to drink liquor. Commandment number 3, thou shalt not control the power of our government. Right. Commandment number 4, thou shalt not lay upon the taxpayers the increased burden of costly jails, asylums, penitentiaries, and necessary care for the victims of your traffic. Commandment number 5, thou shalt not prohibit or discourage education on the evils of alcoholism in our public schools. Number 6, thou shalt not make orphans of our children through the disability and ruin of parents resulting from drink addiction. Commandment number 7, thou shalt not corrupt our international relations by debauching the chosen representatives of our government. Commandment number 8, thou shalt not invade territory, cities, counties, or states that have voted to be dry. Commandment number 9, thou shalt not support drinking parties and other liquor entertainments on the part of governmental officials and office holders with the taxpayers' money. And commandment number 10, thou shalt not destroy the American home. I was thinking of my daddy. My daddy pastors down in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, went there and started the Trinity Baptist Church of Elizabethtown, and it is still a dry county. You say, what's a dry county? Well, there are some places in the United States of America where they can't sell liquor. They have passed a law that you cannot sell liquor in that county. You say, Brother Owens, do you think we could ever do that here? I do not know what we can do here, but I can tell you this, we can dry up a bunch of homes. I'd love to get rid of the liquor traffic in this area. Sure, I would. You say, how would you go about it? Let's get everybody saved that we can. If we get everybody saved that we can and get everybody in church that we can turn this upside down. But we won't turn it around by just having a campaign against alcohol. You have a campaign against the rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. You get them saved and you can get the liquor out of the fridge. Oh my, this thing of liquor. Yeah, this morning, let me remind you of what I said. I told you the Bible tells us liquor is a liar. It tells us that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I have something I want to show you, Brother Brett. I'm going to use this cordless mic. I want to show you something here, and let's see. Brother Bajent, why don't you grab a hold of one end of that thing for me, and I'll grab a hold of the other. This is an advertisement for Busch Beer, and it's got the word fishing all over it. You want to know why? The devil comes along and he says, boy, once again, you want to be an outdoorsman. Outdoorsmen get drunk on Busch beer. That's what they're telling us here. I looked at this one right here. I got another one. It's a bigger one. And this one talks about the Rocky Mountains on it. Here's another. And this one right here is for Coors beer. And on it, it says here, a taste born high in the Rocky Mountains. You know something? I have a little bit of a problem with this idea of them taking nature and convincing us that getting drunk is natural. It's a part of nature. Look, you don't need to get drunk to go fishing. But boy, I wonder how many people hit the lake and they gotta have a cooler full of beer so they can go fishing. That's wrong. That's not what you ought to be doing on the weekend. You don't need to hit the lake and go out and drink your Busch beer. But boy, they'll convince us of it. And Coors Light, I'll tell you something. The truth is, the Rocky Mountains were created by Almighty God and they don't have anything to do with beer. And I think that disgusts God. When we take nature and what God created and we try to associate it, We try to associate it with liquor and beer and all the things that God hates. I don't think God's for that. I think God looks down and he says, what are you doing? Why do you associate me with that liquor store up there in Hagerstown? God loves liquor store. How filthy. How filthy. Liquor's a liar. We learned this morning that liquor brings poverty. We learned this morning that liquor brings sorrow. We learned this morning that liquor brings contention. We learned this morning that liquor brings worthless and hurtful words. We learned this morning that liquor brings injury. We learned this morning that liquor irritates the eyes and inflames the lusts of man. That liquor perverts you, your thinking, and your words. We learned this morning that liquor causes you to put yourself and others in danger. We learned this morning that liquor is going to cause people to lose their judgment and to use poor judgment. The Bible also tells us this as we continue. Liquor corrupts leadership. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 4 and 5, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Look, mayors are not supposed to be drinking booze. They're supposed to stay sober so they keep the laws of the land. It's not, hey, liquor's not for congressmen. It's not for city councilmen. It's not for senators. It's not for the vice president. And it is not for our president. I don't care if he takes a social drink. Liquor is wrong. The Bible makes it very, very clear. It's wrong. And here the Bible is saying, a mother is saying to her son, who is a king, young man, don't drink liquor. You're a leader. You are a leader, and you are to be an example. An example should not corrupt their influence and hurt those that follow them. I went to the Winchester Community High School in Winchester, Indiana. I remember it was my senior year. We were at our graduation night. My class sponsor was a man by the name of Mr. Bruckheimer. Mr. Bruckheimer was the athletic director. He's one of the coaches at our school. He was the vice president or the vice principal of our school, and he was our sponsor that night. I remember the 200 graduates. We were all standing in a hallway outside this huge convocation center where we were about to walk across the platform. We were about to get our high school diploma. And everybody's going, where's Mr. Bruckheimer? Where's Mr. Bruckheimer? He was supposed to be there. He was to lead us out. He was to make sure that we were all in the proper alphabetical order. Where's Mr. Bruckheimer? Where's Mr. Bruckheimer? All of a sudden, you could hear the people all the way back at the last names starting with S and T at the end of the line, and you could hear them laughing. And all of a sudden, you see Mr. Bruckheimer. He's stumbling in. He walks past all the graduates. You could smell him. He smelled like a brewery. He'd been out drinking. He barely made it to our graduation. And so, you know, he continued as the vice president for about three or four more, or vice principal for three or four more years. And it's no wonder a bunch of my fellow students the night of graduation went out and tied one on. The teacher at my school was drinking. I don't think teachers ought to be allowed to drink. Period. That's sad. Why? They're leaders. They're leaders. Hey, thank God for the people in our school, whether public or private, in their teaching. I thank God we got a bunch of sober people around here to influence folks. Thank God for that. Leaders can't lead right when they've got booze in their brains. We've got a bunch of leaders around here, and I thank God for it. If hey, listen, I need two or three bus captains to come up here. It doesn't matter to me who. How about Brother Leonard? Are you out there? Why don't you come up here for a second? Brother Bajent, why don't you come over here for a second? And let's see. Nathan, come on up here. You can help me. Brother Bajent, I want you to hold that sign right there. That's a Budweiser sign. Hey, Brother Nathan, you grab this one right here. Steel Reserve. I don't know what that is. Smirnoff. You look like a Russian. I'll tell you what else. Let me get a few of my teachers from our Christian school up here. Let's see. Brother Young, you teach in our school. I want you to take that. And Brother Bush, you're our principal. I want you to take that. Brother Owens, you're a youth director. You come up here. Let's see. Brother Davis, why don't you come up here and help me? Here's a man that helps to lead in the public school system, and I thank God for him. And you take that. You get a B Corona. You satisfied with that, or you have taste for something else? You know what? I need a couple ladies from our Christian school. Who, Mrs. Bajent, why don't you come on up here? Mrs. Hart, you come on up here. And Brother Butch, a greeter, an usher, you come on up here. And I want you to come up here and hold your sign. Brother Nash, you hand those to those ladies right there, if you will. I need a couple of my deacons. Who are a couple of men that are deacons right now? Come up here. Brother Joe Calling, you come on up here and help me. Brother Butch, you hold on to that. And Brother Lopez, you come on up here. Here's one of the men that helps us with our janitorial things. You take that thing right there. Brother Barnes, you come on up here. Here's a Sunday school teacher, and I like that. You take that, and you take that, and give that to Brother Barnes when he gets up here. And let's see. Who can help me now? I need somebody else. Brother Doss, you're a deacon. Come on up here. You grab this thing right here. You're kind of dumb looking to be a deacon, but you'll do. Now, young people, everybody look right up here, and let me tell you something. Here are a whole bunch of leaders. These are leaders in our community. These are leaders in our church. And you see that liquor? You see those signs? They're against it. They're not for it. These people don't sneak around and go out and get drunk. They're against it. So why don't you all just show them what you think of it? Tear that junk up. And remember, young people, you might find some leaders out there that are for it, but there are some leaders around here that are not. Thank you, folks. You did a good job. And you know what? In every church in America, every deacon ought to be against liquor. In every church in America, every Christian school teacher ought to be against it. Every public school teacher in America ought to rise up and say, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. Every lady, hey, mamas, it's time for us to tell our kids what bad is. And liquor's bad. It is just bad. See, liquor corrupts leadership. And God said, whatever you do, leader, don't drink. Stay away from the booze. It'll destroy you. The Bible says next that God pronounces judgment on the drunkard. Isaiah 28, verse 1 through 3, it says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valley of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which has a tempest of hail and destroying storm, as flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under foot. God said, I don't like it, and you're going to be disciplined. You're going to be punished because of it. That's what God says. You know the only reason? I don't understand something. Why in America is not liquor illegal? All the death that it causes. All the death that it causes. And it's not illegal. Prostitution's illegal in America. The Bible says prostitution's sin, and it's illegal in America. Drugs are illegal in America. Marijuana's illegal in America. Well, there have not been near as many people killed from marijuana as there has been from liquor. Why is liquor legal in America? I'll tell you why. You have the liberals like Kennedy in Congress who they've got their pockets lined with the money of all the liquor industry. That's why. That's why. Somebody needs to take that gray-haired old man out of Congress, take him out and beat him. That's what they ought to do. Every time I see his face on television, pray for him. He needs to be saved, but I can't stand him. The Kennedys and all their money in the liquor industry, it's not Budweiser, it's Bud Dumber. Why in the world is it legal? Because it makes money, and we live in such a corrupt generation that money is more important than morality. And money and having the riches of this life is more important than being right with God. You know that 627 times in the Bible, God refers to booze and liquor, and he's against it. And he's against it. God promotes judgment on anyone who distributes liquor. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it says, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink, that putteth a bottle to him, maketh him drunken also." Now, first of all, it said, just give him the drink. Then it says, and also, let me throw in, if they get drunk off of it. So he wasn't just talking about getting them drunk. He's talking about giving them any liquor. He says, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with the shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. The Bible says here, God pronounces judgment on anybody that distributes liquor.
Yes, right.
Bartenders and the owners.
Yes, right.
The driver for the liquor distributors or distilleries. The workers at the distilleries.
Yes.
They have a part in producing liquor. The gas station attendant that sells it. The restaurant waitress that serves it. The liquor store and its employees. You know, it was at a drunken birthday party where Herod, his niece, Herodias, was dancing for him. And she was doing this lewd dance for a drunk leader. And that drunk leader said to this lewd woman, "Hey, you please me. You tell me anything that you want and I'll give it to you." You know what she said? "There's a Baptist preacher here in town that preaches against pornography and lust and all of that. Kill him." You know what he did? He cut the Baptist preacher's head off because of a drunken birthday party. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. God pronounces judgment on the drunkard. If he continues in his way, judgment will come. God pronounces judgment on the distribution of liquor. Drunkenness leads to nakedness. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 20, "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered with his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from the wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, the servant, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren." Here the Bible says Noah did the stupid thing of when he parked the ark, he decided that he would build himself a vineyard. He got a vineyard, he got him some grapes, and he took some fermented wine and he drank it. He ends up drunk and naked in front of his kids. Habakkuk 2:16 says, "Thou art filled with the shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee." He's talking about nakedness there. This is where the striptease came from. It came from drunken women dancing and moving their body. It got so hot, and they were so drunk that they had to take off their clothes while they danced. Drunkenness leads to nakedness. Drunkenness leads to nakedness. You know, you find those people that are even into the social drink. They're the ones that'll fuss about me when I tell them, "Well, you know, you should be running around naked in front of people." I tell you, you go down to the beach, you look like you stripped down to your underwear, and suddenly it's okay if there's sand and there's water. You know, the Bible teaches a woman should not show her thigh to the public. But I'll tell you what. The ones that'll fuss with me about that and say, "Well, I don't like that," you're probably the social drinker too. You have your wine at your meals with your rich friends, and you think it's okay. Why? Usually, those that are into the drink are also into the nakedness. Drunkenness brings nakedness. Not only that, drunkenness leads to incest. Genesis chapter 19. Now, we can go back and we can look at this story of Noah. The Bible says right here, it says, "And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him." Now, what had his younger son done? Well, God doesn't tell us. But it wasn't what the other guys did. The other guys said they backed out. They didn't want to look at the nakedness. Now, something is being pointed out. Something happened here. Drunkenness leads to incest. Genesis chapter 19, verse 33 through 35, and it says, "And they made their father drink wine that night. The firstborn went in and lay with her father.
And he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let's make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. He perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. This is the story of Lot. And what ends up happening here, we see that a couple of girls get daddy drunk and they sleep with him. Now I will guarantee you that a lot of the incest that takes place in the United States of America is because somebody puts a bottle to their lips and they get drunk. Girls hurt by their daddy because of booze. Boys hurt by their daddy because of booze. Stepdads that touch their stepchildren and you keep your hands off your kids sexually. I'm against it. That's vile. That's wicked. I'll tell you, I'm for sinners, and I love everybody. But I'll tell you, you want to talk about something that makes my ever-loving blood boil, the thought that somebody would lay a hand on a little boy or a little girl sexually. If you're like that, get right with God or go on up the road. We don't need that kind of trash around the church. I'm so tired of churches being pinned for being a bunch of perverts. Well, that doesn't have to be true. You keep your hands off of anybody. You should not have sex with anybody you're not married to. And you should keep your hands off of anybody under the age of 18. You're a pervert if you sleep with people under the age of 18, sir. And if you're a woman and you sleep with somebody under the age of 18, you're a pervert. You say, well, I'm not, and I do. You are. You are to take advantage of a child like that. You don't do that. That's wrong. You say, that's strong. I'm not saying half of what I want to say. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I got some other things way back in the back of my mind I want to say that I can't. Preachers ought not talk like that. Drunkenness leads to incest. Listen, brothers and sisters tamper with the bottle. End up drunk, doing things with one another that should never happen. Liquor leads to illegitimate children. And this story right here, where it talks about drunkenness leading to incest in the story of Lot and his two daughters, you know what the Bible says in Genesis 19:36? Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. I wonder how many children have been born out of wedlock due to drunkenness. I wonder how many little boys will be reared in a home with no daddy because of drunkenness. I wonder how many little girls will not have a father at home because of drunkenness. Oh, the struggle to rear a child alone. Young people, you stay away from the liquor. You keep your hands off of each other until you're married. You then get married and stay married and rear your kids in your home with a mommy and a daddy. And you come to church and you bring your kids to church and you teach them to stay away from liquor. Boys and girls, liquor's bad. It's sinful. It's nasty. All kinds of it. Here's something called Hurricane malt liquor. There's some more Keystone Light beer. Some more Bud Light. Some Budweiser. Some Busch. Keystone Light. All of it. Coors Light. Natural Light beer. There's some more Busch. It's bad. Every boy and girl in here, you realize something. It's bad and it's sinful. I don't care how many people laugh about it. I don't care how much you see it on TV. I don't care, boys and girls, how much. When you go down the aisle at the grocery store and you see it, you remember, beer's bad. Beer's bad. Wine's bad. Liquor's bad. It's 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 real bad. It's real, real bad. It's nasty. It's vile. It's not a joke. It's not a game. It's not entertainment, boys and girls. It's bad. It's bad. You know what? I've got some beer cans up here. I feel like some of you children need to come up here and help me smash them. I don't need teenagers, but if some of you children, mom and dad, if you'll let your child come up here, I'd love for them to come up here and smash a beer can for me. Come up here and tromp on it. And when you tromp on it, say it's bad. It's bad. Yeah, just stomp on that thing. It's bad. Now, don't fall off the platform, okay? Just step on that beer can and say it's bad. Yeah, it's bad. Don't stomp on someone's toe. That would be bad. It's bad. Yep, it's bad. Find you a beer can and step on it. That's it. Step on it. That's good. It's bad. That's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Thank you, boys and girls. That's good. You can go back to your seat. Be careful. Don't knock anybody down. Be real careful. Watch it. It might be slick on the steps. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. And indeed it is. Say, why do you do things like that? Because I want some little 7-year-old boy about 11 years from now when he turns 18 and he gets him a car and he graduates from high school, I want him to think back one night to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church when his preacher, who loves him very much, threw a bunch of old beer cans around on the platform and we stomped on him. And when all of his buddies are going out getting drunk, he says, "I can't do that. I stood there one night and said, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. I never want you to forget it, boys and girls. It's bad. It's bad." God commands us that Christians are not to associate with the boozers. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, with such and one know not to eat." I want to see who wrote this. Last time I looked, the author was God.
That's Owensology.
No, that's Bible. Bible. Well, you're old-fashioned. Right. It says Bible. Been around forever. That's pretty old-fashioned. I mean, if you're looking for an antique worth something, every one of you carrying a Bible that's got to be worth billions and billions. Talk about an antique. It goes all the way back to whenever. Forever. Always has been. Yeah, it's old-fashioned. Listen to that. "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, or drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat." That means you are not to sit at a table and eat with somebody drinking booze. That's what the Bible says.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Is that in the Bible? It's in there. "Be kind, but be gone. Be kind, but be separate." It's time for somebody to get some new friends. George Washington said this, "Drink is the source of all evil and the ruin of half the working men of our country." Thomas Edison said, let's see, "To put alcohol in the human brain is like putting sand in the bearings of an engine." He's very right. Drunkenness caused people to reject Christ as their Savior. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." The Bible here is talking about those that get involved, and liquor is a part of that passage of Scripture right there. Boozers, they can be hard to get to church. They can. You go by and witness to them, and they always got something else they need to do. Or, I wonder how many times I've gone by and tried to witness to a boozer, and they're too soused out of their mind to give them the gospel and think they know what they're doing. Oh, the struggle of trying to get the gospel to a drunk. Usually they're angry, they're bitter, they're mean, they're violent, and they're rejectors. Why? Because flowing through their vein is blood and liquor. And liquor's a poison, and it poisons the mind. Drunkenness causes people to go to hell. There are people who they won't go to hell because they were drunk. They'll go to hell because they rejected Jesus Christ. But they rejected Jesus Christ because they had pumped their veins full of the devil's poison. Liquor, wrongly, becomes a vice, and especially for the successful, the worldly successful. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:17, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." We're talking about the lovers of pleasure and oil. Oil would be a valuable possession in the day of the Bible, just like it is today. A lover of pleasure would be someone that would be into having fine things. And the Bible here is warning the successful not to find themselves rubbing shoulders and giving in to the temptation to take the social drink because of the group of people that you're with. my privilege for many years. I preached at the Pacific Garden Mission, probably one of the greatest rescue missions in the history of the United States of America. I would go in there and preach to 600 and 700 men, street people, off the streets of Chicago. Most were there because of alcohol, because of booze. Say, I bet those were the underprivileged. No, let me tell you something. I would go in there and I would go soul winning. I'd say to a man, I'd say, where do you come from? He'd tell me the story, how he grew up and he went to high school and he graduated and he went to college. And in college he started his drinking. He graduated, he went out and he got him a law practice, or he was a medical doctor. Hey, you might think that all those drunks out there in the ditch are just the underprivileged that never even made it through high school. I've got news for you. The devil reaches out. I don't care how strong your mind is. It's not stronger than the grasp of liquor. And I've seen the professional people, drunks by the thousands. Corporate executives and doctors and lawyers. You sit here tonight and say, hey, what I do, it's not really drunkenness. Well, that's what the Bible calls it. The Bible calls it drunkenness. The snooty upper crust. I remember as I one day sat at a restaurant with a multi-millionaire that was my boss. He said, can I buy you a drink? And he's the one that signed my paycheck. He's one that gave me a job. And I said, I don't drink. And I'm not about to start today. I'm against it. When the pressure's put on you, what are you going to do? Hey, you never take the second drink till you've taken the first. Do you know Jesus can save a drunkard? He can save a drunkard. 1 Corinthians 6:11 it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. The verse right before it talked about drunkards. Drunkards. And it says, and such were some of you. You know what that meant? Not anymore. Saved. Cleaned up. Cleaned up. You say, Brother Owens, what in the world should we do about this? Again, I'll tell you, I don't think you ought to have any liquor in your home. Don't allow yourself to go where people are drinking liquor. Don't sit at the table where people are drinking liquor. Don't hate the person that's into the drinking. Love them, but hate the liquor. Pray for their salvation. If you got booze in your home, and I think there are people that went to do this today. I think there are people who went home and poured some out, and I think you should. Pour it out. Get rid of it. Get rid of it tonight. Somebody needs to give it up tonight. You say, well, I believe in moderate drinking. Oh, so do you believe in moderate adultery? Do you believe in moderate stealing? So do you believe in moderate incest? Do you believe in moderate rape? Huh. You say, Jesus, he made wine. Let me tell you something. I do not have time. I could do the study tonight. I have no reservation about it. There are four different words used for wine in the Bible. There is a word used for wine. Actually, the grapes left on the vine at one time in the Bible is called wine. Then there is the fresh juice off of a grape. It's called wine. And then there is the fermented juice. It's called wine. And then there is a mixture of the fresh juice and the old juice, which is fermented. It's called wine. And you're going to find out, those of you that all these years been hanging on to that thing, Jesus drank wine or created wine. He never did. He just made juice. That's all he did. All you'd have to do is let somebody that knew a little something about the Bible teach you, say, well, how's that so? It uses the word wine. Do you call it pop or soda? How many different kinds are there? It's your liberal churches that'll let you drink it. That's why we do not use fermented wine in the Lord's Supper here. Maybe someday we'll do a study. But the Bible's pretty clear on it. We do not have time for me to say everything that could be said. I would like to have the time to preach on all 620 some verses tonight. I do not have that time. Do you know something? God can save a drunkard. I was at Bible college. My mom called. And she said, Jeff, Grandpa's in Reed Memorial Hospital in Richmond, Indiana. And if you're going to see your grandpa alive, you need to come right away.
I got in my car. I drove 4.5 hours. I got up to the floor where my grandpa was. My grandma, my mom, my uncle, a couple of my uncles were out there in the hallway. My grandfather had been a drunk all of his life. My grandfather had been married 5 times. My grandfather was a bootlegger. My grandfather was a gun runner. My grandfather, he works for some really nasty people. When I got there, my mom said, "I'm so glad you're here. You need to see Grandpa right away." I went in. My mom kept everybody out of the room. I watched her usher everyone out. She said, "Jeffy's here. He needs time with his grandpa." I went in. I grabbed my grandpa's hand. He was gasping for breath. Remember, at one point, he spit up. When he spit up, it was black. Black. The nurse came over and said, "Don't get that on you. Don't get that on you. That's nasty." I remember I began to talk to Grandpa. I said, "Grandpa, listen. I don't know what they're telling you, but I am not going to lie to you, Grandpa. They're saying you're dying. This is it, Grandpa." I said, "No, Grandpa, listen to me. You have got to get saved." And my grandpa said, "Nah, that's not right." He said, "Jeffy, I'm a nasty, wicked old man. I'm a sinner and a bad one." I said, "Grandpa, listen to me. Step number one, you've already taken it. You're right. That's the only kind of person Jesus saves, are the ones that realize they're a sinner." I said, "Grandpa, please." I told him about Jesus. I told him the gospel story. I remember my grandpa praying a sinner's prayer. I remember Grandpa on his own saying, "Dear Jesus, I'm a nasty, vile, wicked old man. I'd be honest, if you sent me to hell, I deserve it. If you can save an old drunk like me, please save me. I'm so sorry." He looked up. I said, "Grandpa, it's cared for. You're saved." He said, "Thank you, Jeffy. Thank you, Jeffy." I stepped out of his room. I walked over to where my mom was. My mom said, "Is it okay?" I said, "Mama, it's okay. It's okay." She said, "I knew if you came, it would be okay. I just knew." My mom raced back into the room. She stepped back out and said, "He's gone. He's gone. Just in time. Just a nasty old sinner. But God saved him. God saved him." Let me advise all of us that we realize what that stuff will do to you. It's wicked. It's nasty. Some of you need, you know, something I'm going to do tonight. I believe this. Those of you that helped me take names, boys and girls, teenagers in this room, this evening, I wish that some of you would decide that you'll never, never drink liquor. Never drink liquor. You know what, young people, if you're willing to make that decision tonight, I wish you would be able to look back to this night and say, "I remember the night in church that I made the decision never to drink liquor." I wish a bunch of you would actually make that. I'm talking about walk the aisle, come down here, let us write your name down on one of these decision slips to where you actually make the commitment publicly. Some teenagers need to do it. A whole bunch of children need to do it. And to be quite honest with you, parents, I wish you'd let your kids do it. You say, "Brother Owens, if all these kids do that, we could be here for another 20 minutes. Well, wonder if all the kids in our church decided tonight they were never going to touch liquor. What's wrong with that? What would really be wrong with that? What would be wrong with a bunch of teenagers coming down here and saying, 'That's it. I'm taking a stand. I'm not going to go out and get drunk.'" You say, "Brother Owens, maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you say, 'I've already.' How about you make the decision from here on out, not again?" I mean, there's some adults that need to do it. There's some adults that need to decide to go home and get rid of something. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. Maybe you need to come down here and pray. I don't know. We're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. Name takers, you be ready to help me. Name takers, listen very carefully. As long as you get me the name of the young person, you don't even have to put anything on the decision spot if it's about booze. I'll take care of it. If it's another decision, you make sure you write it down. Name takers, you'll have to be ready to help me. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. And you'd raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I need to be born again. And you'll raise your hand. If you're like that, we'd like to show you in the Bible how to be saved. If you're not saved, why don't you come tonight? In a second, the choir will sing. We'll all stand. The men on this platform will take their places at the aisles. Those of you that sit near the front, you forgive us. We may ask for your seat if we set some of these young people down here. But don't leave the auditorium. Just go across the back, along the side. Stay and watch. What would happen if a little revival would break out and a whole bunch of kids would say, I'm not doing it. I'm staying away from liquor. I'm making the decision tonight. Oh, the lives that could be salvaged and the families that could be spared of the heartache. I'm going to ask that the pianist begin to play. Let's all stand to our feet. You need this altar, you come. If you're a boy or a girl and you say, I'm coming, I'm making the decision. I'm not gonna drink liquor. Boys and girls, if you want to come, you feel free to come. Everybody standing. Stand up. Everybody stand up. Participate. Okay, I'm making the decision tonight to never drink liquor. Name takers, if that's their decision, write their name. And that's good enough. If it's just a decision about liquor, write their name. I'll take care of the rest. How about it, young man? How about it, young lady? We're quickly name takers. If you're one of our extra name takers, you know who you are. Leave your place and come help us for a second. Children, teenagers, don't be afraid to linger for a second. Maybe it's time for somebody that's an adult to go home and pour it out. Pour the liquor out. Come on. Big advertisement up here for Michelob Light. You know what it says? It says it's more than a resolution, it's a lifestyle. Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's a drunken lifestyle. That's exactly what it is. If you're not saved, why don't you come get saved? Hey, maybe you say, Brother Owens, I'm not a teenager. I'm not one of the children. Maybe some adult needs to come tonight and say, you know what, I'll never touch it again. Name takers, all you need is a young person's name. As long as you give me their name, I'll know what to do from there. Say, tonight, I'm deciding to never touch the liquor. You say, I've already touched it, Brother Owens. Well, then why don't you decide tonight to never touch it again? Name takers, please write so I can read it. We're quickly name takers. What would happen if 100 boys and girls and teenagers tonight decided I'm never going to touch it? Tonight, with God's help, I'll never put a bottle to my lips. I'll never tip up a goblet of wine. I'll never put a bottle of whiskey to my lips. I'm never going to let fear steal my brains, steal my family, steal my purity. How about it? Adult, maybe you need to come. If you're helping us with baptism this evening, make sure you're ready. Work quickly but thoroughly, takers. Hey, some of you moms and dads need to make a decision. There's some of you that are 18, 19, and 20 years old. You ought to be walking this aisle and getting your heart right with God. You know better.
There's some of you, take this as a prediction. Somebody in this house that won't make a decision tonight, and you're tipping the bottle. By the end of this year, you won't have a car, you won't be able to afford insurance, or you'll end up in jail and on your way to the pen because you killed somebody because you tip up the bottle. Our goal is not to be angry at the sinner, but we're angry at the sin around here. I hope the young people in this building one day think back to the old preacher throwing signs and smashing cans and smashing bottles all over the place, reminding us of the wickedness, the vileness, the sin. That's good, young people. That's good. Let me warn you, parents, not to hurt your feelings, but let me warn you, if you don't get it out of your house, your kids are going to get in it. Don't you be angry at them when they get picked up for drunk driving when they took their first drink from that bottle you had hidden in the house because they see mom and dad drink it. Don't give me that junk. Do as I say. They're going to do as you do. That's bad. Are you saved? If you're not saved, why don't you come get saved tonight? Would to God that every church in America would have their young people, their teenagers, and their children make this decision. A good man said to me this afternoon when I stepped off the platform, a grown married man, he said, Brother Owens, would to God I would have heard that when I was young. He said, I hung around a bunch of Christians that drank. They all thought that because Bible mentioned wine, that it was a right thing to drink the fermented wine. And I didn't learn until later on in life, you were not supposed to drink at all. One more time through the song choir. One more time. It's not too late for you to come. Now, I'll guarantee you something. They won't preach like this down at the Lutheran church. Oh, they won't preach like this in the place that like to get into those kind of spirits. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation.